Oh, honey, I'm so tired today. I cannot even get off this couch. You know, all of the list of stuff you want me to do, I cannot. I'm so tired. I think I'm sick. I might die. Honey, there's a phone call for you. Can you bring the phone? I don't even have enough energy to go get the phone. Hello?
Oh, Joe, how's it? Golfing? You need one more partner. Brother, I am there. I am there. Right? You can control your spirit.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne will show us that in order to succeed in life, there is something much more important than talent, more important than good looks or education. The most important thing we can possess is a spirit of excellence. Here he is with a message entitled, Three Choices That Determine the Condition of Your Spirit.
Hey, take out your notes with me. We're going to go over a classic scripture story where the 12 spies were sent in to the promised land to spy it out. Do you remember? 10 came back with a bad report, even though it was a land flowing with milk and honey. 2 came back with a great report. And Moses said, well, wait a minute. Why the difference? It's because these people, Joshua and Caleb, will have had a different spirit. Oh, maybe same talents, same skills, same competency, but different spirit. And God said, it's because of that, that these guys are going to go in and these aren't. We have a lot of promises that God will give to you for your marriage, for your future, for your family, for your finances. But not everyone's going to enter into the promises. Today, I want to talk to you about how to cultivate a spirit of excellence. One that captures God's attention and one that turns what could have been a failing future into a fantastic forever. We're going to talk about three choices that determines the condition of your spirit. Have you ever seen someone with a spirit of excellence that, like when someone comes into the room and he's got like a really good spirit, he comes into the room and it's like you go, ooh. He hasn't done anything yet. You see a lady that's stunning, beautiful lady, stunning. You think, oh, she's a model. But then when she opens her mouth after a few words, oh, she ugly. Oh, she ugly. Oh, isn't that right? It's a spirit. Daniel was one who the Bible says had an excellent spirit. It was so much so that 4 different kings chose him to be their first in line counselor to the kingdom because he had an excellent spirit. Even the Bible talks about that with women. You can have a lady that maybe may not win the Miss America pageant, you know, just not that of that caliber. But when you listen to a lady talk like that, that her words are so embracing and kind and so encouraging and all-encompassing. You stop and you say, man, that lady is beautiful. Why? Not because of an exterior beauty, but an internal grace. It's her spirit that causes people to congeal towards her. There's an attraction towards her because of that spirit. And 1 Peter talks about that. Read this with me up on the screen. Go. Clothe yourself with beauty from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit that is so precious in the sight of God. They say that you communicate in 3 ways. You communicate through your words, you communicate through your gestures, and you communicate through your spirit. Which of the 3 do you think they say is the most important in communication? It's your spirit. It's your spirit. Your spirit will affect everything you do, or it will be contagious to everything you do. It will bring everything up, or it'll pull everything down. It'll give everything neon colors, or it'll paint everything in gray. It's your spirit. And you don't go to any college that offers classes on cultivating your spirit. You just don't see it. But the Bible has classes on that. And today, in one scenario, you're going to find choices that you can make that'll determine the condition of your spirit. It is your spirit that'll sustain friendships. It'll be your spirit that'll sustain a marriage. It'll be your spirit that'll even help you overcome obstacles and even sickness.
What?
Yeah. You've seen people that have a fighting spirit or those that have a defeated spirit. You'll see, it's sort of like this. Watch this. Let's say this is the center line. If you have a negative spirit, a bitter spirit, a cynical spirit, a critical spirit, whatever you see, you pull down to your perspective. On the other hand, if you have learned to cultivate a spirit of optimism, a spirit of blessing, a spirit of encouragement, a spirit of faith, in the same way, whatever you see rises to that tide, either a low tide or high tide. It's up to you. Boats are going to float on either one, but it's a tide of your spirit that's going to determine how high it's floating or how close to the coral heads that it floats. It's your spirit. You can have a defeated spirit, and someone in the hospital that gives up, his health begins to diminish. His immune system begins to drop. On the other hand, you can have someone with a strong fighting spirit, and that person can overcome so much more. Speaking of fighting spirit, my wife used to be a substitute teacher at Haile Christian School in Hilo, and Lorraine Shin was a lady that went to our church. Her son is the fighter BJ Penn, and he's an ultimate world champion, ultimate fighter, and he was actually going to this school that my wife was teaching at, and he was short and tough, and he'd always pick on kids twice his size. I remember one lunchtime he's over on the corner of the playground fighting this kid, and he's just scrapping, stop, grabbed him, no, stop already. And then he'd say, oh, I want to get him. Oh, my goodness. We had a hard time. Well, one day he took on John Wade. John Wade is twice his size. And if he punches straight with John Wade, he would have hit him in the kneecaps. That's the difference in size. And I remember my wife breaking up the fight, and she sat him down and she said, now, BJ, you're just going to have to learn to stop fighting with people. And even till this day, I say to my wife, how'd that work? Fighting spirit. But I'm talking about an excellent spirit. And the kind of spirit that you have will even help you overcome obstacles. And that's exactly what we find in Proverbs 18. Read it with me. Go. A man's spirit can endure his sickness, but a broken spirit, who can bear? Well, who teaches you about developing and cultivating a spirit of excellence, of strength, of godliness, was the scriptures. And out of this one scene that we're going to open the curtains to, you're going to find that God is saying to the children of Israel, I want you to go spy out the land. Take one from each tribe, or 12, send them into the land. Now I'm going to give it to you, but you're just going to have them kind of go in, do due diligence, come back, and get some logistics down. Where you're going to go first, how you're going to settle the place, who you're going to go after first, etc. But this is something I've promised you. So at the top of the notes, or your notes, let's take a look at what it says right here and what God said to them. Would you read it with me? Go. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send out for yourselves men so that they may spy out the land of Canaan, which I am going to give to the sons of... Now, what was God going to do? He was going to... Yeah, it wasn't a question. He said, it's yours. However, I want you to go in and spy it out, because there's going to be giants in the land. But I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to remove their protection. Now listen, even though God gave them the promised land, they would still have to contend for every square inch of it. Because it's in the contending that they would learn perseverance, endurance, loyalty, obedience to God's word, how to break through quitting points when they want to give up. When they see an army bigger than they think they're able to handle, they trust in God and move on. For courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is pressing on in spite of it, because you trust the one who sent you as your commander. And once they develop all of these character qualities from contending for what was promised, and given freely, but yet they must contend for it. That's the stuff that will help them to sustain success. Did you know that not too many people survive success? Because once you become successful, you leave God, you leave your wife, you leave everything, all the disciplines you once knew, because I don't need it anymore. Not too many people survive success. But God will give you a promise of a marriage or a future or a relationship, and He wants us to contend for it, to pray, to obey God's word, to do it God's way, because if you want God's blessings, you do it God's way. You're patient, not impetuous. You settle down. You don't rush headlong into wrong things. And God says, that's all the characteristics you're going to need to sustain the marriage that I'm about to give you. I promised you. But if you don't have those character qualities, it'll be 8 years and you'll be in court. So I will give you a promise, but you will contend for every square inch of it. And so he said to the spies, go out into the land, and I'm going to give you these lands. But you're going to have to make three choices. Three choices that'll determine the condition of your spirit. Because 10 of you, not going to enter the land. These two will. Why? Because they've got better skills? Nope. Better competencies? Nope. They're better fighters? Nope. Why then? They have a different spirit. Your spirit is more important than you'll ever know. Three choices, though, you must make in order to cultivate a spirit of excellence. So what are those? Here it is. Number one, would you write down? You've got to choose the perspective with which you will define life's events. The perspective, is it from under here or up here? You choose, because you've got to bring it to every event. And remember, it's not the event that defines your future. It's how you define the event that tells you your future. It's not the event. You can have two setbacks, same people. You can have a setback, same setback, two different people. Same setback, here. One succeeds, the other fails. Why? The event? No. The way you define the event. Perspective is a wonderful thing. And if you think about it, it's just your perspective that can turn an ordeal into an adventure. It can turn a setback into a comeback. And it can turn a failure into an awakening. It's all perspective. And if you develop the perspective correctly, you'll be able to overcome so much more. Because sometimes some people say, well, this is an ordeal. Others will say, well, this is a setback. We're done. No, it's not a setback. It's a comeback. Well, we lost our house. Good. Now we don't have any mortgage payments. Let's start to move. We have a clean slate. Well, I don't know. It's a failure. My marriage is failing. I think I'll just forget it. Wait a minute. It's a wake-up call, says another. It just came about ready to go to court. It's a wake-up call to us. What have we been doing? Let's press into God. Let's make it a new beginning. Whoa, different spirit. God says, that's the kind of people I'm looking for. That's it. Not the ones that are perfect, but those that have a different spirit. Because those are the ones I can work with. Those are the ones that are going to enter the promised land. That's why Matthew 6:22 says this, the lamp of your body is your what? Eye, the way you perceive things. The lamp of your body is your eye. If your eye is clear, your whole body will be filled with light. If on the other hand, your eye is bad, you see things from down here, your whole body will be filled with darkness. If your eye is clear, your whole body will be filled with light. It's your perspective, not the event. It's the way you define the event. And if that light that is in you is darkness, how great shall that darkness be? Because I pull everybody down into this vortex and it's gray. It's contagious, isn't it? If somebody has a bad spirit, it's contagious. One of the best things you can do for your kids is cultivate a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Psalm 51:10. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. You understand, David was actually praying this sermon today. He was saying, God, renew a right spirit in me, because I know that if my spirit flags, it will affect everybody negatively, and I'll pull everything down, define everything by a gray mass. But if I can become more in spirit above, everything changes at that point. The lamp of your body is your eye. The 12 come back and they say, we can't do it, says the 10. Can't do it. The walls are fortified. There's giants in the land. Joshua and Caleb says, we can do it. God says to Moses, what do you think? Moses, I don't know. God says, I'll tell you what I think. Let's kill all these 10 right now. Why? Because it's contagious. If they have that kind of spirit, it's going to ruin the whole tribe of Israel. It's contagious. These people here, they had a different spirit. These are the kinds of people, that's the spirit that I want to influence the tribe of Israel. You let that go, it'll be a contagion, and it will be destructive to all the people of Israel. So all of them that came out of the land, they're not all going in. However, would you read it? Go. But my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants will take possession of it. Do you understand how it actually affects your kids? Remember this, you can teach and tell what you know, but ultimately you're going to reproduce what you are. And that's your spirit. See, you can have all the eloquent words and oratory, but ultimately we're going to reproduce who we are. And that's where your spirit is. And that's why the Lord says it's so important to have a right spirit, because that's what's going to happen to your descendants. And the best thing I can do for my family is to cultivate a right spirit. Now, sometimes people say, Wayne, doesn't your spirit flag? It does. But I have to be able to pull it up, and you've got to pull it up time and time and time again. Especially when it comes to three perceptions. Here it is. The first is, I've got to make sure that I keep editing and correcting the way I perceive myself. Here's the first. The way you perceive yourself is critical. If you see yourself as, oh, I'm no good, I'm nothing, I'm bad, that's how other people will see you ultimately. It'll affect how you really are. On the other hand, you can go off on the other side and say, I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm a dude. I get down. And if you have an arrogant spirit, that's just as bad. You see, watch this. Here's a boat. Here's a ship. The devil doesn't care what side of the ship you go off, so long as you go off. See, some people say, I don't want to be prideful, so I'll just kind of demean myself. No, the devil doesn't care what side of the boat you go off. You go off of the upper side or lower side. Who cares? So long as you go off. So you say, Wayne, what's the best and correct way to perceive yourself? Really easy. Here it is. You perceive yourself not like others do, not like your friends do, not like the people you're trying to impress do. No, you perceive yourself the way Jesus perceives you. What does God think about you? Think about yourself that way. What does God think about you? That's why it's so important to read the Word, so that you know what God thinks about you, so you have an accurate perspective of yourself. If you see yourself poorly, that's what you'll become. In fact, when they came back from the promised land, they said, oh, the land is really good. Nevertheless, let's read it, go. Nevertheless, the people who live in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large, and we saw the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were. Did you catch that? If you see yourself as nothing, a worm, a grasshopper, that's what you're going to look like to everyone else, because you're going to treat yourself, see yourself, perceive yourself in that way. And that's what you're going to exude. Remember, your spirit is going to be expressed in your emotions, attitude, disposition, moods. That's the expression of your spirit. And if you have an excellent spirit, all of those things will be excellent. If it's a negative one, all of those things will be negative. You say, well, sometimes I just can't help myself, Wayne. It just comes out because I get so mad at people. Well, all of us have two sides in us. Side of us that says what we should say. The other side of us is what we would like to say to that person. And we fight with that. Paul the Apostle fought with that in Romans chapter 7. He says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I do. Who will free me from this wrestling match inside of tension? And I looked at that and I thought, that's the same thing with us. Because sometimes I want to say something, but I cannot. My spirit wants to blow up. So someone says, well, I just blew up. Well, you can control it. Cannot. No. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 14:32. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the... Yeah, which means you control that. And there's sometimes it just wants to go ballistic. And I say, no, can't. Or my spirit wants to flag and give up. I can't. No, I can't give up. I've got to keep on going. And I talk to my spirit. Get up. Don't go down. Up. Right there. Good. All right. Now we'll stay right there. Some people say, oh, no, I can't do that. When I'm mad, I cannot stop. Oh, yeah, you can. No, my spirit just goes crazy. You can control it. I cannot. Sure you can. Let's say you're at home. You're yelling at your kids. You shut up. You clean your room. You get out of here. All of a sudden, the phone ring. Dad, it's for you. Shut up. I got a phone call. Hello, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. You can do it. We do it all the time. I see you. Oh, honey, I'm so tired today. I cannot even get off this couch. You know, all of the list of stuff you want me to do, I cannot. I'm so tired. I think I'm sick. I might die. I can't even move. Honey, there's a phone call for you. Can you bring the phone? I don't even have enough energy to go get the phone. Oh, thank you. Hello?
Oh, Joe, how's it? Golfing. You need one more partner.
Brother, I am there. Woo! Right? You can control your spirit. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. I got to tell you this story. This is just crazy. Just recently, my wife and I were in Los Angeles. In fact, this last week, I'm on the cabinet of our denomination, so I was at some meetings for a few days, and so Anna and I were there, and so the only thing is they booked Anna and me, but she was in the seat behind, and I was in the seat ahead. So she said, honey, we're not sitting together. I said, no problem. We'll see who's sitting next to you, you know, and I'm in front, and we'll just see if we can switch. So she sat down, and I sat down, just waited, and this lady comes in, and she sits down, and I get up, and I say, excuse me, ma'am, my wife is right there, and I'm just right here. Would you mind if you sat in my seat, and I sat next to my wife? She looked at me like I'm bothering her terribly, like. She said, I'm already settled. Thinking, you know, one side of me goes, I can get you unsettled right now. I wanted to say, I'm not asking for your kidney as a donation. I'm just asking you to move one seat. But came out was, thank you, I understand, no problem. Thank you for considering that. And then she looks at me and she says, it's just a short flight, you know. I wanted to say, I'll fly you across this plane. When you hit the wall, that's going to be one short flight too. But instead, I said, I understand. Thank you so much. I cannot believe this woman. But isn't that true? Inside of you, there's two people. Well, which one comes out? Whichever one you choose. But be careful, because the one you choose will come out again and again and again.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Three Choices That Determine the Condition of Your Spirit by Dr. Wayne Cordero. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast.
Have you ever been doubted by someone? Have you ever experienced a skepticism of others because they think they know who you are? Maybe you even doubted yourself. While experiencing the doubts of others never feels good, the doubts of those who are closest to us can sometimes hurt the most because we tend to least expect it from them. Sometimes people will doubt you no matter what you do, no matter what you say, and it's okay. The doubts of others do not deny your calling. You have a purpose. Today, choose to be someone who encourages and empowers others. Be someone who spontaneously brightens someone's day. Be someone who loves unconditionally. And when you do, others will begin to realize that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.